Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Open your Bible just a few moments. Let's look at the Word of God. We've begun a series on Sunday night on the subject of fear, on overcoming fear. Introduced it last week as we were looking at the cause of fear and looking at the types of fear and kind of making a statement that there is fear out there and the different fears that people are confronted with. We looked at the disciples and found that really and truthfully, the great motive or the great foundation of fear has to do with the thought of perishing. You remember they were on the water and the storm was coming and the Lord Jesus was walking out to them to help them, to be a blessing to them. And their imagination got carried away. And sometimes our imagination can get so carried away with us that they supposed that the Lord Jesus was a ghost. And they let that thought and that imagination carry them to the position of being terrified. And we talked about how a lot of the fears that we are in bondage to, and by the way, we should not be in bondage to. Romans 8:15 teaches us that we can be freed from that. 1 John teaches us that we've not been given the spirit of fear. But a lot of God's people really and truthfully live in the bondage of fear. It's a horrible and miserable place to live. And the reality is that a lot of that fear, it comes from our own imagination. It's like when you were a little kid and somehow during the daytime on your closet door, you came in from the pool and you hung your pool towel on the closet door. During the day, that's just a pool towel. At night, that's the scariest ghost you've ever seen in the middle of the night. And it's coming to get you, and you saw it move and you saw eyes open and so on and so forth. And, you know, as childish as that is, a lot of adults have imagined fears. And we kind of are in this prison of fear because our imagination has developed something outside of that. And it's not really a reality, but we let it become reality. We let the perception dominate us. And so Jesus is walking out to them and their imagination is it's a ghost. It's not. He's there. And then in the midst of that storm, they're worried and troubled so bad that about the storm that Jesus comes and he stills it. And then he looks at them and he said, "Why are you so fearful?" And the reason they were so fearful was that they were afraid. And they were afraid of what I think a lot of people are afraid of when it comes to fear. And the main emphasis or the main motivation of fear has to do with the thought of perishing. And sometimes that's the perishing of our physical life. Sometimes that's the perishing of our friendships, our marriage, our job, our comfort, our big house, our success, our rainy day fund, our nest egg, our dreams, our visions. Somewhere, when we submit ourselves to the prisoner bondage of fear, it's because in our brain, we are afraid of perishing somewhere in our life. And so we looked at that, and we looked at the fact that they were on a course that God had sent them according to His Word. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And we said that when God gives you His Word, then God will never guide you where He will not provide for you. And God's Word will remain true. And so they were not going to perish because God said they were going to get to the other side. And you can always trust the Word of God. Doesn't mean you won't have difficulty. Doesn't mean you may not suffer something. Doesn't mean you may not have to go through a hard time. But God will never not be faithful to His Word. And we can say amen to that. So the question comes then, well, Pastor, what do I do with fear? Am I unspiritual because I get afraid? Well, the answer to that is no. Come to Psalm 56. Psalm 56 was written by David. Psalm 56, if you have a study Bible or it has some words written underneath the chapter number, you are going to see that this was written to the chief musician, a mishtam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, if you remember, David, at a point in his time, had to flee from Saul, and Saul was going to kill him. I'm going to preach a message on fear when David just said, "Saul's going to kill me, and that's all it's going to be." But he's running from Saul when he shouldn't have been running from God or from Saul. He should have been standing in the protection of God. But he got afraid. And so he went to the Philistines. Now the Philistines were the arch enemy. They didn't know God, loved God. They could not afford him anything more than God could afford him. It was a horrible decision to go into the land of the Philistines. But David made that decision because he was afraid. And he gets down into the land of the Philistines there with King Achish, and he realizes real quick that he's out of the pan and into the out of the fire and into the frying pan. I mean, he is in big trouble, and his decision didn't pan out too well for him. And in the midst of that time of his life, David writes Psalm 56, verse number 1. We'll begin. Listen to the description of these moments. Be merciful unto me, oh God. By the way, when you mess up and you sin and you step outside of God's will, God's plan, or you make a decision without the leadership of the Spirit of God, your first prayer ought to be merciful unto me. Have mercy, O God, is a great prayer. It ought to be one you pray often. The Bible says that his mercies are new how often, class? Every morning. Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. That word swallow me up carries with the idea of a consuming, a hounding. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, finish the verse, class, I will trust in thee. So David says, I'm in a position of that's horribly fearful to me. I made a tremendously wrong decision. I am at the bottom where the only hope I have is the mercy of God. And in that time of fear and recollection of that decision, David does what all of us ought to do with our fear. He understands that the only security we have is God himself. And he understands the perfect place of security is to be with God. And so David says, man, I had my fear of Saul. And when I was afraid, I took my fear to myself and I put it where I thought it would be delivered. Boy, have we done that ourselves, have we not? And David takes that fear and says, okay, I got to care for myself. I don't know what to do, but I have to do something. By the way, you don't find that in the Bible. Whenever you think, I don't know what to do, but I have to do something, you better do nothing. Because you will mess up. How in the world can you lean on your own understanding and I don't know what to do, Pastor, but we had to do this. No. You do nothing until you get leadership from the Word of God. Because if you step outside in your own understanding, you're going to pay for that. So David is terrified for his life. He is afraid he is going to perish. So he takes his fear and he runs to the Philistines, and that's where he tries to care for his fear. The problem is he soon realizes he's not God. He soon realizes he can't secure himself. And he soon realizes that problems have a way of following you. Fear has a way of following you. You know, you'll never run from your fear. You'll never run from it. You'll never outrun it. You'll never hide from it. It will follow you. So David gets down in the land of Philistines, and now he's afraid that now they're going to swallow him up. They're going to consume him. And so he's learned his lesson in verse number 3, and he says, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So what does David learn? David learns that fear alone itself is not necessarily wrong. It's not a sin to be confronted with fear. The sin is when I take fear and I do not submit it to the way of faith. Whenever fear takes you away from obeying God or trusting God, then you have crossed the line. But just having a fear or being confronted with fear is not crossing the line. David was filled with that. Matter of fact, if you read verse number 5, here's a description of his fear. Every, say it, Every day. He was confronted with his fear. Every day they rest my soul, my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. I mean, David had to face his fear every single day. But he had learned what to do with his fear. He learned that he was to take that fear and he was to take it to the Lord. He was to allow fear to bring him to the understanding and trusting of faith. And so he says, at what time, and there will be times, when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And so he knew what to do with fear. See, most people don't know what to do with fear, so you don't get on an airplane. It is absurd for a Christian to have some kind of fear dominate their life. We serve the all-powerful God. So we don't know what to do with this fear. So we try to hide it. We try to suppress it. Maybe we try to medicate it. Maybe we try to drown it. Maybe we try to do whatever it is that we can do, but we don't know what to do. The greatest thing you can do with your fear is you bring it to the Lord. You bring it to God. You take that fear and you run to Him and you take that drive of fear and it becomes trust in the Lord. Lord, here is my fear. Lord, this is what I'm afraid of. Lord, this is what is hurting me. This is how I need the protection. And I take that fear and I give it solely unto Him. David did that. Look at verse number 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my, say it class, trust. I will not fear. So David goes from the position of when I'm afraid to I won't be afraid. When I'm afraid to I won't be afraid. Don't say amen to this, but think about this. Wouldn't you like to be free from the fear that's dominating your life? I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. You know what it is. Pastor, I want to get out of jail. I want to get out of prison. I want to enjoy my marriage. I want to drive my home. I want to enjoy my life. I need sanity. I need peace. This fear has got me boxed in. Well, David said you can go from that position to a position of not fearing. How are you going to do that? You're going to put your trust in the Lord. Now, watch what it means to put your trust in the Lord. Pastor, what does that mean? Verse number 4. In God, I will praise His what class? Word. Word. So how does somebody put their trust in the Lord? They obey His word. Finish the verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by word of God. See, when you're consumed with fear, you can't hear anything. You can't concentrate. When you're consumed with fear, everything is loud around you. Be still and know that I am God. David is in this position where they are hounding him every day. And he cries out for the mercy of God. And he found the opportunity to take that fear and to put it in the Lord and to trust the Lord. And where did he get that understanding of trusting in the Lord? He got it from the Word of God. And he begins to praise. And then the Word of God, as he begins to develop that, he combines that with prayer. Look at verse number 7. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Thou take account of my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. So David had learned how to take his fear and put it in the trust in the Lord. And he began to know how to trust the Lord through the Word of God. And as he got to know the Word of God began to be his prayer. The Word of God began to be his cry. The Word of God began to be victorious in that communication. And David learned something. Verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. Finish the verse out loud. For God is for me. Wow. Did you know that God is for you? For you. Fear says, you're all alone. Nobody's for you. Fear says, you can't trust anybody. You're going to perish. David got down in there and David realized something. He realized I'm a child of God. He realized that God was faithful. He realized that God's word was true. He realized the power of God's word. He realized the peace that comes from crying out to God. He realized the victory that comes from the word of God being prayed back. And David learned that God is for me. If you're in a prisoner of fear tonight, would you understand, if you know the Lord, he's for you. He's for you. Go to Psalm 118, verse 6. Hold your hand here. It's a marvelous verse. You ought to maybe memorize it. And I don't know if you know this. Psalm 118, verse number 6. Did I say this service would stop at 6:45? It's going to. Verse number 6. The psalmist writes, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? See, fear tells you you're all alone. Or fear will tell you that even God can help you. David realized, no. God is for me and the Lord is on my side. You know what I do when I get on an airplane? Every time I get on an airplane and we're taking off, I probably should do it at the gate, but I just trust the taxi part. When we get on that thing and they hit those jet engines, I lay my head back on that thing and I say, now God, I know Jesus is my Savior. Thank you for salvation. I say, now I'm trusting you fully to get me from here down. I want you to be with the pilot. I want you to protect the plane. And I want you to take me out of here and I want you to allow me to come home. But I want you to know at this moment, I'm fully trusting you. You know what happens to me? You ever done that? Peace. Because you can trust him. Amen. He's for you. Come back to Psalm 56. I'll finish. After David said, God is for me, he said, in God will I praise, verse 10, his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Listen, you will never become free from the prison of fear without the word of God. Verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What man can do unto me? David said, now here's what I learned. What you do with fear when it comes is you take it to the Lord. And you don't let that fear rob you from the position of faith. You let that fear drive you to a position of trusting in the Lord. And then you deposit that with the Lord. You get his word. You get his direction. You pray. You realize that he is for you. And once you have done that and you're leaning on the word of God, faith begins to build in your heart. Now let me show you in Psalm 112. Go to Psalm 112. I'm going to preach this one, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce it here. Psalm 112. Let me show you the effect of what it can be to put having your trust in God so that you will not be afraid. In Psalm 112, there's a wonderful description here in verse number 7, speaking of the blessed man. And in verse number 7 it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is what, class? Fixed. trusting in the Lord. So David goes from a position of evil tidings bringing him to a position of fear to a strong position trusting the Lord where evil tidings don't even bother him. Not that they don't bother him, but they don't cause fear in his life. See, some people can't even handle bad news. You can't handle evil tidings. You can't handle that. And immediately, if you hear something, you're thinking, oh no, we're going to perish here. This is going to happen. I can't believe you lost your job. I can't believe we're going to do this. I can't believe all these evil times. What are we going to do? And then there's the other person, and he comes home and loses his job, and he says, you know, I'm hurt and I'm sad and I lost my job, but I know that God will care for me. See, you live your life within that spectrum, either allowing fear or coming to the position where you're trusting the Lord, where fear doesn't come into you at all. It doesn't mean that you're ridiculous or that you're not observant. It just means that you're operating in faith, trusting the Lord. And David said, I learned that God will care for me. I learned that God is for me. I learned that God is on my side. I learned that He's able to provide. I learned that He's able to deliver in verse number 13. I understand that He will enable me to walk before Him. I know that He will do all these things. And so my trust is in Him. You may be screaming fear, but I've got my faith in the Lord. You had better learn what to do with your fear, or otherwise it will eat you alive. And God's people said, amen. All right, let's pray.